Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, we are continuing our conversation about Jamarion Robinson, a young man in our community who was gunned down, murdered by police officers on August 5th, a few years ago. So we're right around the anniversary of his incident. And we're joined in the studio by his mother, Monteria Robinson. Mrs. Robinson, welcome back to The Local Take.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you all, you know, letting me come in, you know, share my story to bring about awareness about what happened to Jamarion Robinson.
And what we are always talking about is justice for Jamarion, because we still don't know what really happened. And so we're trying to increase awareness and attention to what happened so that it doesn't happen again. And the other person joining us to speak this morning is Saint DeVillain. And Saint has been instrumental in a number of protests that have happened in and around Metro Atlanta in support of justice for Jamarion. So Saint DeVillain, welcome to The Local Take.
Thank you.
So, Saint, can you share how you came to be involved with the Jamarion Robinson protest, and what do you want your efforts to result in?
So, I mean, well, first, it was really the universe, you know, and people who understand that type of rhetoric can understand the weight of what that means. So it really feels like I'm supposed to be here. The way I found it was just... It was quite beautiful. I was basically trying to look to see how can we win at this, right? How can we actually do something that's going to actually do something rather than just, you know, just a little effort. Like, how can I get effort out of black people? You know, how can I rip it out of them? And, you know, you got to have the right story to have that type of force, because the story here is the whole power. Like, that's the only reason any of this works. Like, if it was anything less than what happened, you know, so it's almost like this horrible thing happened so that we could win, because I really do think that he is going to be the one that, you know, makes this into something. And, you know, her being here is a perfect example. Like, she's the type of mom that just seems built for it in all ways and avenues. So I saw it because I needed a story, and I was trying to go big, like, oh, Khalif Browder. But then a woman in my life, very aware, her name's Tyler, she was like, no, stay local, stay in Atlanta, because there's something here. There's something, like, in the air about it. And if you mix that ethos with the right thing, the right rage, anger, whatever emotion, you know, underline, insert type thing, it could shake it up. So... And when I saw that, I think my whole entire being understood that that was the one, reached out on Facebook, and just by the luck of just serendipity, I even saw the word serendipity before I opened it. Like, it's crazy. But she just happened to read it. And she says, she'll speak when she speaks, but even that right there was crazy that I saw that, because it's Facebook, right? You know, so anyway.
So you wanted to move beyond just a Facebook post.
Yeah, I wanted to move beyond everything. Beyond everything, like all of it, like nothing more, like no more of this. Like, when you see us, you see something that shocks you, not because it's scary or dangerous, but because what is that? You know, in a day and age where we see everything, we know everything, the only way to be seen is to create something that hasn't been seen before. So
you move me right to my next question. How did you decide to organize these very strategic protests? Mm-hmm. At local malls, how did you come to make that a part of this story?
Yeah, well, honestly, Monteria, she has a connection. You know, she has some friends. Kim, you know, she has really strong people who are willing to help her. And when I saw the ability that she has, you know, the people she knows, you know, and she can. I want her to speak on that, because there's some. She has some interesting kind of like things about her that makes her perfect for this. But she was the thing that birthed this whole thing, because you have to have the right type of ingredients for this type of vision. So she was really the final key. Jamarion's story was the first part, but there had to be someone to hold it all and to not let go. Everybody else can let go because they can. She has no choice, right? So because of that, grip that she has off of just wanting justice that America has not given her. So they're kind of helping make this happen. So I appreciate them for giving her pain, because now that I see it, it allows me to do what I can do because she has certain abilities that make that possible.
So the impetus was justice for Jamaria. And Montario Robinson, share with us how you all came together and when you got this outreach, because I'm sure you probably get outreach from a lot of folks. What was it about this outreach that made you respond, and why did you think this was going to be something different? Because it very much so is.
Actually, when I got the message from saying, as you stated, I do have a lot of people reaching out saying they can help, but people come and go, you know, they fall off. But Saint, you know, I did my little research on him, you know, and his company, and I was like, okay, you know, my spirit was like, this is it, you know, this is real. Let's try this. Let's go with this. You know, I met with him, and it's just like my spirit just synced with him. It's like Jamarian said, it's him, because he can relate. You know, he was Jamarian's same age, and that's what I need. You know, I need the millennials. You know, I always say it's time that we, you know, pass the baton. And I felt like it is the millennials. This is their their time to carry the torch, and we need to win, you know, or I say, let's say this is a marathon. And, you know, I say, I started out jogging. So now, you know, now it's time for me to pass the baton to him. And so he can finish the race. And it's going to take the millennials to, you know, to complete the race. And with his concept, his vision, I said, we can win.
And for the listeners who may not know what we are actually referring to when we say this concept and this vision, Saint, can you just share a little bit? I don't want you to share, you know, everything, because I know part of this is done quietly so that you can have the impact. Mm-hmm. But could you just share a little bit about why you decided to do it the way that you did and how you went about, you know, garnering the young people that were a part of it? And how did you keep it secret? You know, how did you make this turn into what it did?
It kind of just became its own thing. I mean, you know, first I want to say shout out to the West End. That's my company. That's the group. That's the energy, the spirit. That's all of it right there. We're a group out of the West End of Atlanta who want to stop all these white people from moving in. First of all, gentrification is real. We see you. You see us. Let's talk. But, you know, so Jahi Gilkey, Tyler, Deja, you know, these people kind of make, I'm just one part of it. I'm just a piece of this kind of mastermind, right? These other people are kind of hidden. They're quiet. They're in the shadows right now. I don't want to be so out, you know. But I'm just perfect, you know, not in a cocky way, but in the way that says that some people just have to hold the baton and you have to be built a certain way to hold it because it's shaped a certain way. And what has happened to me in my life, all my trauma, all my things that have hurt me, all the things that have helped me and healed me and loved me, my craft, which is film, acting, what that did to me as a kid, and how fearless I became of the world, and how I don't care about embarrassment, because that, what is that? Like, what really is that? Like, is that even a word? Okay, well, then what's English? Is this how we used to talk? So if this is not how we used to talk, then maybe this is not how I'm supposed to feel. Maybe I'm not afraid, you know? So I've been breaking that down my whole life because of film. You know, so my occupation, the way my thinking just naturally led me to this, because for me, it's like, oh, of course we do that. But it's not like that in a kaika way. There's a lot of pain that holds that statement and can be said like very confidently.
So I want to share just a little bit.
Yeah, you maybe should do that. Obviously.
No.
You might need to say it a certain way. Bullet point.
Just recently.
Okay.
The protest at Lenox Square. And a lot of people gathered at the protest not knowing that it was going to be a protest because it was actually, I kind of call it a flash proposal.
Right.
So it was a proposal and people were gathering around because it looked like these two young people were going to declare their love for each other.
All right, now I'll punch in.
Okay.
You did good. You set it up. I think I needed that. That was like, that's so much planning that I think it just crushes my, like, it just gives me anxiety, you know, honestly. But, yeah, so it's called a flash proposal, but what it really is, when you look at the footage, And I would love to share off the one we did at the Mall of Georgia, because that's a different demographic in all types of ways. And I would love to talk about how they were both different. Lenox, which is predominantly black, and Mall of Georgia, which is predominantly white. The behavior was so beautifully the opposite, right? But basically, it's theater. You know, it's like bringing back like the gladiator times, but what that actually felt like. Like right now we got UFC, but those things are constructed so that you know they're coming, and they're built a certain way, and there's a structure to it, and you know it's coming, and you're like, okay, I've seen this, okay, but I'm here for it because, you know, maybe I need that type of feeling today, so let's just go through it. But Gladiator, you know, if you do the history, they started killing each other that way because they had so much pleasure. They were able to touch and taste so much pleasure without consequence that they needed to go to the most horrific thing to find a sense of pleasure again, right? So that's what they had to do. And I feel like that's exactly where we are right now. Everything is seen. Everything is boring. There's a structure to your entire life. The millennials are dying out, crying. I want to be seen. But why are they saying that? That question alone is the issue. You shouldn't want to be seen. That's the true freedom. So this right here that's created is basically just a modern day feeling of seeing something that you haven't seen before, which gives you a release. A big exhale that we all can take together because we see something. So just to get details, I'm sorry.
No.
There was a circle of people that I gathered in the mall, right? Because the proposal was a package that allows you to do certain things, you know? So I'm just going to stay right on the surface because if you start talking a certain way, then people can start feeling, you know. But it allows you to do certain things, to orchestrate a certain structure that will allow you to display a certain said whatever, right? So usually you get on your knee and this happens. But okay, well, all these people are there. Their hearts are open. You know, they're in it with me. I'm a black man. But for that one moment, we all don't see. The question of I need to be seen doesn't exist because we all can understand that this is more important. This is this moment. So we all look and we have our phones up and we're smiling. Some women are even crying. Some people are crying, which we saw in the video at Lenox. You know, I'm just black love. They're all just so open and their hearts are open as they should be because that's how we should live, open and happy and exposed and vulnerable. We all can do it together and it's safe. So that's what's being created right there. And then in that spot, in that gap, in that synapse, you give them
the truth,
the story, not the truth, the story, because story is unbeatable. Truth can be beaten. You can't beat a story. A story spreads like a virus. Mm-hmm. No one can control it. No one can hack it. Nothing. The right story can spread in the right place like a virus. But the good kind, white blood cells maybe. Maybe there's something that needs to be healed. So all you do in that moment is share the story of Jamarion Robinson, who was shot 76 times by the police in Fulton County in
2016, August 5th, 2016.
And I really would like her to share the story. I know there's time and whatever, but, you know, they need to hear her expose it.
So
and share that story.
No, so in the middle of the proposal, then the story comes.
And what did you say? So basically, we got this huge crowd, right? I'm saying massive, you know, beautiful, beautiful crowd. The type of crowd that you would always be like, man, this kind of looks like a coliseum. Like, oh, man, we're kind of tapping into some
in
truth.
In a circle.
In a circle. Everything's circled up. And you be in that space with them and you tell them you have a girl who's coming, you know, a girl who's coming. Where is she at? She's coming. Can I see the ring? Oh, I don't want to show it. I don't want to jinx it. You know, you just be in that moment with them. Really feel it because we're all there because that right there is the actual protest. Mm-hmm. It's opening them up for the truth that they want to receive, but they're too scared to. They need to do it together. So I get on my knee and she comes through the circle.
Yes. I come to the circle with my bullhorn.
So first, let them experience the how we talk, right? So they really think it's a proposal. We're taking our time.
Right.
We're letting the time run out. I'm like looking around. I'm seeing the tribe.
People are coming.
More people are coming, but my particular tribe, because we have a group that comes out and reveals themselves. So I'm talking to the girl and I'm, you know, just talking loud and just getting, and people are crying and we're all feeling it. And then out of nowhere, in a beautiful fashion, the mother tells a story. And she says her first line.
I pull out my bullhorn. You know, I done took my jacket off. I got my Tribe 76 t-shirt. And then I just say, August 5th, 2016, my son was executed, you know, here in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, he was shot, you know, 76 times, you know, flashbang grenades were thrown at him. And people were just listening. And they're going, what? Where did that happen? Here in Atlanta? What? And then everybody's still filming, recording. And as I
and
keep
chaotic.
Going, it's very
really,
chaotic.
So it's a circle, but now you just broke. You know, we all broke past it together. And now it's like people are like asking questions. And what was the first thing you said, though? The very first statement that we said, say, and you said it so strong and so powerful. They're going to see in the video, and they're going to be like, yo, that looked like Martin Luther King. That looked like...
Basically, this is not a proposal. This is a protest. Mm. I was that.
And
yeah.
She said it so dang strong.
Right. This is not a proposal. This is a protest.
And she and the whole thing just shattered. And people were like, what? But it was almost like, that was dope. Like, whoa, this is that? They're happy. They're thanking us because for the first time in their life since they were a kid, they experienced something they never experienced.
The story flipped.
The story. Her story. The story of her. And see, she's the key here. Mm-hmm. It's not the moment. The real powerhouse that happens in that moment is her presence. Because they'd be like, wait, when this happened?
Right.
Wait, he was shot 76 times. And see, 76... That hits him. That hits him in the chest, you know? That hits him in the chest, hits him real good. Mm-hmm. But then when we say, but that's the mom right there. You mean the woman with the bullhorn telling the story right in front of me? I can touch this person? This is happening right now, not through my phone? That's what we create right there. This is real. Kids are getting killed. 76 times he got shot. That just happened. He's a modern day Emmett Till because it totally snaps you.
So this concept for protest as story, where did that come from? How did you think of that? Mm-hmm. How did you start to put that together?
Yeah, it started because I'm a filmmaker. And at the end of the day, the way I want to change the world is with film, with the West End. What's up, the West End? Shout out again, you know, for the two time. Because what we do and we actually shot a film called Save the Black Queen, which is what I want to do here, but with the film. And it broke me. It women were crying after seeing it because it's about black women in America. And that opened me up to be able to do this because me and my bro, me, the West End, formed through that film. And we saw, whoa, you can do something with film. You can break some thing open, you know, something that no one's done before because everyone's too afraid. So it's really them and what the West End did that allowed me to even envision using story because it's theater. It's everything's so fake today that you need to see fake in front of you to realize that it's real. And that's film. But we got to go back to theater. We got to put that thing out. We got to become gladiators. What's up, people? Where you at?
So now, Saint, when you met with Mrs. Robinson, you all talked about these protests. What is the outcome that you want from this? Did you just want to increase awareness about Jamarion's story? Do you want this to move the GBI to finally release the reports that everyone has been asking for?
Yeah.
Do you want this to
Trump's
result?
Trump's tax return, maybe.
You want this to result in justice for Jamarion? Yeah. And what does that look like?
Universe,
what do you want to come out of these wonderful, you know, stories, protests? 333. What's the result?
First and foremost is to take the weight off of her shoulders, right? Because that's the pressure. Like, again, when you see the mom and she's on a bullhorn, you feel the pressure instantly, like in real time. It's like basically doing what TV does to you, but like in front of you. Her presence does that instantaneously. I see it in real time. And you'll see it in a video. People are literally like their face changes. Like, you can see it. It's the weirdest thing. It's almost like we're watching them act, you know? It's like that's actually for us. Which is what it is for. So virality, right? We want people to see this. We want people to experience that moment. And we want people to share that moment because that's what we're all waiting for. We're waiting for something real. We're waiting for something true. And that's what Trap 76 is because she's that. You know, Trap 76 is just an embodiment of Monteria Robinson, an embodiment of a black woman in America who has to show the casket of her son to the whole world just to get them to say, hey, this is happening. You know, when we share this story, she's sitting here right now repeating the story over and over again. She's probably told the story of her son getting shot 76 times. She probably said that story 76 times.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's disgusting. Uh-huh. Or more. And he was shot at actually 90-something times. Right? So she's probably said it that many times. Why do that? Why do black women have to continuously repeat the same trauma? I'll tell you why. Because they're the key. they're the key because they're the only ones that can do that. Black men, we would crush. That's why we don't like emotions. Mm. I don't want to feel that. That would destroy me. I'm physical. That's where I live. That's what I destroy. I'm the actual Hulk, right? She's the spiritual one. She's taking all that pressure and messages, and she's delivering. That's millennial, and that's the old folks, old heads, whatever you want to be called, old people, you old. That's what, when we come together, that's what you get. So that's what Tribe 76 is straight balance.
Now, you've mentioned Tribe 76 a couple of times, and your website is tribe76.com.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners, if they want to be a part of these protests, or if they want to work with Tribe 76 on the things that you all are doing, how do you want them to reach out to you? What kind of people are you looking for?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let Monteria take that first one because I need to hear more of her voice.
Okay.
We need to get your essence.
Well, we
in here.
Always so just say tell that, them, yeah. You know, Tribe 76, this is not for everyone. And as Saint discussed, you know, it is time for the millennials, you know, to stand up, you know, because I've been really out here for the last 3 years trying to really get my generation say, come on, you know, fight with me, stand with me. But it that has not been working. And so with the millennials being involved now, I feel like now Jamarian, you know, has a voice and is louder than my voice. And so, this is not for everyone. You know, this is not for everyone. We're not asking everyone to come and join our movement. You know, we want people that doesn't care. You know, let's go to the mall. Let's shut places down. Let's do something different. Let's do something fun. Let's do something sexy.
Ashe.
So to get, you know, the millennials involved, because, you know, they're I always say they're what is it, y'all?
Attention span.
Oh, yeah. We worship goldfish now.
Right.
We don't have
attention span is not that long.
One.
So we have to do things.
Yeah. Shout out to millennials. Anyway.
Yeah. To keep them engaged. So you can tell them how they can.
So tribe76.com. And that was great, Monteria. That got me revved up. I was like, man, let's go do another one. And that's how it is. When you do these, you are addicted. That's the fun part, because you break and you're like, oh, my God, that felt great. This is safe. Mm-hmm. It's legal. We just basically stand out, reveal our yellow shirts and start talking. Dude, let's go. Right. So, you know, they go to tribe76.com. Sign up. I get your number, your email. We have a meeting, and this is not for everyone. If you're weird, don't come. You know what I'm saying? And not weird in like the weird way, because I'm weird. I'm different. I was a weird freaking kid. You know what I'm saying? But if you're weird in the sense of like you want to do this because of some ego reason, because of some like you need to claim something for yourself or some win, bro, stay away, because I'll see you and the door will be closed. I'll give you a hug though, because you need love. But, you know, other than that, we're going to send you on. So, yeah, sign up. Come be a part of it. It's hella fun. It's hella safe. It's different. And most importantly, it's going to work.
I just want to thank you both for coming, especially you, Ms. Robinson. I know you've been sharing this story so many times. And we want to continue this conversation until there's been an end result.
We want to end this. And I want to never talk about this again. I want Monteria to never. I want her to tell the story like the last time on some stage where we won. Mm-hmm. And then we all know collectively that's the last time she'll say it. That needs to be the Oscar, right?
Yes,
when the definitely. Hey, black mom, here you go. You now no longer have to be the mom of this moment. You can just be human again, right? You don't got to be superhero. Mm-hmm. So gosh, I had to just punch in there. But anyway.
No, I love it. And I want our listeners to know that Saint has sent me a link to the video.
Yeah.
So we will post a link to the video on our post that'll have this sound.
And then come through if you're the real one. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking out for you hard bros. Where you at, man? Where you at? Anyway, had to throw that in for my people.
So we've been talking with Saint DeVillain and Mrs. Monteria Robinson about the murder and execution of her son, Jamarian Robinson, on August 5th, 2016.
Rest in peace, bro.
Thank you all
so
much.
Much love, Ashe.
Much love, Ashe.
Thank you.